Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives.
Genesis chapter 1. Now, a few services ago, Pastor Mary Beth made a statement that about the number of thousands of thoughts that we have each day. And then she mentioned also that it's estimated about 90% of those are negative. And I've been thinking about that. And then the Lord began to speak to me that this is perhaps the problem in our American society. Not the negative thought. The negative thought's part of it. But today's society is self-image. This is the problem with gender confusion. Self-image. This is the problem. Why? There are some people that have such bizarre combinations of hair, color, shape, cut, tattoo, face, neck, arms, and piercings all over. I mean, and some people are facially pierced, facially tattooed, and hair, bizarre shapes and colors. It's screaming, look at me. People want to be noticed. People want to be seen as individuals. It stems from a poor self-image. You've heard me talk about this before. When we all had cameras, before phones, when we all had cameras, did the word selfie exist? Didn't exist, did it? Because we all took pictures of other things and other people. We never took, did anybody ever take their 35mm camera and turn around and take a picture of themselves? Never once had I ever seen anybody do that. But I would say probably 80 to 90% of pictures on phones that are taken by phones today are of self. People are turning the camera on self more than turning on other people or other things. And not only turning camera on self, but a lot of the social media have created filters to make people look even more of an image that they want to achieve, because they are not positive about their self-image. So as the Lord spoke to me about this, he began to reveal some things. And I want to start in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. I don't need to read the rest of it about dominion. And we see that from the very beginning, we, humanity, was created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. Now, if the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, then that's his starting point. He wants to destroy our self-image. He wants to steal the fact that we were created in the image of God and convince us to look bizarre, to think of ourselves in bizarre ways, to subvert God's word, God's creation, and his purpose, and pervert our image. Now, that took place in Genesis 3. And in Genesis 3, I'll read it. And it's verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. When they sinned, they lost the image of God. This is what happened in the garden. Why was there such an abrupt change? Their eyes were opened, but they did not see the image of God any longer in themselves. They saw themselves for the first time naked. And that was physical, but it was also spiritual. So from that moment on, they could not define themselves by the Creator. They had to define themselves by what they did. And this is what people define them, their image today. What people do, what people have, right? Is this image? Why do people want to drive certain cars? Why do I joke about a Maserati? Because I want one? No. What someone does, what someone has, how someone looks, who someone has, trophy wives or trophy husbands. I keep getting this ad on my email. You know how the email, sometimes you have ads alongside. My email has these ads on the side, and there's an ad that keeps popping up. I refuse to click on it. I never click on those ads. Never, ever, ever click on those ads. But there's one, and it keeps saying, top 10 NFL perfect wives. And it's true. Some of the top NFL guys, they marry women that are, you know, trophy wives. But I'm sure in their eyes, their husbands are trophy husbands because there's some top NFL quarterback. I mean, Tom Brady, didn't he marry a fashion model, right? That's an example. So it's what someone does, what someone has, how someone looks, who someone has, also what someone sees. When I see somebody, I usually don't see them in real life, but I might see them on video or film or some. And I'm not talking about a movie. I'm talking about real life, people who post things of themselves. And I see the bizarre. I mean, you realize there are people out there that are chiseling their teeth into points. And I see something like that, and I strain to figure out why. It's what they must see. They see something. They see themselves in this way to make an image. But that image is not from God. Of course, that image is from the world. Also, what someone is told. What someone is told. Now, advertisers know this. I don't want to rail on advertisers today. But advertisers sell by telling us who we are or who we should be, how we should look, what we should own. I've never yet seen something like a car that is advertised by someone who looks like a homeless person. Usually there's somebody very attractive advertising something. The idea, or, you know, a lot of ads, I'm not sure what ads are like today because I don't watch much TV, but in the old days, the idea was you buy this car, you get this girl. You know, they're selling to men. You buy this car, you get someone that looks like this, right? Do you remember that advertising? In the even older days, you smoke this cigarette, you get this girl. Remember when they would advertise smoking? Well, advertisers know how to manipulate. But if advertisers know, so does the enemy. And the reason I'm bringing this tonight, that because America has an image crisis. Our population has an image crisis. Otherwise, there would not be so many people going to such lengths to look so bizarre. And many, many, many do. And I'm going to show you an image crisis in the Word of God and then show you what we can do about it. But also, I'm what the Lord's impressing upon me is that we need to be prepared to have people coming in with pink hair or pink and blue and rainbow colored hair and piercings and tattoos on their necks and face, but coming in to repent and receive Jesus. Now, there was when we had a storefront years ago, and there was a young lady who came to me, and she was praying for her husband who was an alcoholic. She was a wonderful believer, but her husband was an alcoholic in the Air Force when our air base was open. And she invited him, she wanted him, he would never come to church. She said, they're all hypocrites, he didn't want to come. Anyway, we had a church picnic, and she invited him to the picnic, and he came to the picnic. And his response after the picnic was, they're all normal. Now, he didn't get to know me very well, but that's why he could say that. But in any case, he came to church. He sat on the front row. And a sweet, elderly church lady went up and told him to get out of her seat. But he was a good-humored guy, and he actually, he stayed. I mean, he moved his seat, but he stayed. He laughed about it, told me the story and laughed about it. He got saved. And it's a happy ending, happy story, because he did give his life to Christ and came to church all the time after that. But we've got to be prepared that we don't look funny at people, that we don't say things about them that they can hear because we're talking to somebody else, that we don't shun them and ignore them. We need to be ready for these people to get saved, because they need Jesus as much as we did before we got saved. So, Jonah chapter 3, image crisis. Jonah chapter 3, just going to look at one part of it. Jonah 3, we're going to pick up in verse 10. Verse 10. Jonah 3, verse 10. And God saw their works, and this is after Jonah preaches to Nineveh. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and he didn't do the evil that he had said he would do. So he did not destroy the city of Nineveh. So chapter 4, this displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, can you imagine that? What was Jonah's job? Jonah's job was to go to Nineveh and preach repentance. And this heathen city repented, so he was successful. But yet it didn't look good, because he had said God was going to destroy the city, and he was a prophet. And it didn't happen. So it didn't look good for him. So he was angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, wasn't this what I told you when I was still in my country? That's why I fled to Tarshish. For I knew that you're a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and that you would not do the evil upon them if they repented. Therefore now, O Lord, take my life. It's better for me to die than to live. He had an image crisis because he considered what other people would think about his ministry. He was angry. He said God was going to destroy the city. He wanted God to go ahead and destroy the city. The city repented, and the Lord spared it. But all he thought about was himself. Part of the image crisis is too much attention on self. Selfishness is part of the root problem of a poor self-image. We're talking about self-image fix tonight. Self-image fix. Why do we care about our image, our self-image? Because we're made in his image. And we need to be strong in and of ourselves. We, as believers, must know who we are and define ourselves by who he is. Let's look at that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, well, I'll start in verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, let me read that out of the Amplified. I'm going to start in verse 16 when I read it out of the Amplified. But whenever a person turns in repentance and faith to the Lord, the veil is taken away. This is the veil that Moses had, a veil upon his face, so the people couldn't see the glory because they couldn't see it, and it was too much for them. And he goes on to say that this veil is still there when people read the Old Testament and they don't see the truth. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, and true freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Now here's the key. What does he mean, as in a mirror? What's the mirror? What's the glass? The Word of God. As we look to the Word of God, we should see our reflection in the Word of God. We should see ourselves in the Word of God. Define ourselves by the Word of God. And we are progressively being transformed. There is transformation through his Word. This transformation is into his image. This is how we return back to the image of God. Jesus made the way possible. Jesus is the Word made flesh. And as we look to the Word of God, we are looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the more we are in God's Word, the more we are changed by God's Word. And we are changed from our old image or our present image or the world's image into the image of God, which is how we were created in the first place, in His image. It is a struggle for us to return to that divine image. And until we do, and unless we do, we cannot be who He's called us to be. And if we cannot be, then we cannot do what He's called us to do. The world is hungering and thirsting for image and image, their own image, but they're looking in all the wrong places. And the enemy is all too helpful to guide them into all the wrong places to find this image. There are so many confused people in the world today, and God is not the author of confusion. But to finish this verse, into His image, from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is that Spirit. In order to find our way back to the image that God's created us in, we must be in the Word of God and receive progressive revelation, progressively revealing His glory to us, that we can get a glimpse of who we are reflected in the Word of God. If you want to, before you came to church tonight, before you go out to work in the morning, you are going to look at your image. You are going to make sure your hair is combed. You're going to make sure your shirt is buttoned correctly. You're going to make sure that you look nice. And you do that by looking into a mirror. And when you look in the mirror, you see your image. Now, you know, you don't see what everybody else sees. You see the reverse. When you look in a mirror, you don't see the image that everybody else sees because the mirror is the reverse image. You know what I mean, reverse. But you do see yourself. That's how it should be when we look to the Word of God. We look to the Word of God, which equips us, shows us, are we clothed properly? We're to be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus. When I spoke about that, I don't know how many services ago, remember I said, I don't know too many people that put their pajamas on to go to work in the morning. Most people take their pajamas off and put on clothes to go to work or to go out. Although there are some who do wear pajamas to Walmart, I know that. And we are not to go out in our humanity. When we go out of our houses, we are to go out in His divinity. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ when we go out and not wear ourselves. So our image is defined by who He is. Let's look at it in another place. And this will be Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to read this one out of the Amplified as well. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, I'm going to begin in verse 20 or 21. In fact, you have really heard Him and have been taught by Him, just as truth is in Jesus, revealed in His life and personified in Him, that regarding your previous way of life, you put off your old self, completely discard your former nature, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new self. This is where we get our self-image. We put on the new self, which means we put off the old self. What is the old self? The old self is anything that is defined by the world standard. Remember I mentioned the world standard. The world standard is we define ourselves by what we do. We define ourselves by what we have. We define ourselves by how we look. Looks change. We define ourselves by who we have. We define ourselves by what we see or by what we're being told, what we're told to look like or be like. We put all that off. And we're continually renewed in the spirit of our mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental spiritual attitude, put on a new self, the regenerated and renewed nature, Our new self is regenerated and renewed. Created in God's image. There it is again. Created in God's image. In the righteousness and holiness of the truth. Living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for salvation. So there, what I see is that our new image can only come through salvation. Only when we're born again can we have a new image. Now, of course, in the world, people can have a new image, but generally that new image is based on the same things as the old image, just a little bit spiffed up. You know, right now, at this moment, there are people somewhere in the world that are paying thousands of dollars to hear a message like I'm giving tonight, but without the spiritual content. There are people that are going to seminars and paying big bucks to get a positive self-image. It's in God's word, and it's free. It happens only after we're born again. The true image, the true self-image. Oh, we can of course, spiff up our image any day. And there are, there was somebody, in one of our international fellowships, you know, over this last 2 years, because of the Go Brunch platform, I'm involved with International Fellowship of Educators. And for about a year and a half, every 2 weeks, we would get together online. I think it was on a Monday. And we would have a meeting, and there would be people from everywhere in the world, just like our services online, be in one of these meeting rooms, and we would all talk and discuss what's going on in our countries, how we can use the platform to better bring our word to people, whether they're school teachers. A lot of them were school teachers. And one of the things that we would talk about is the presentation and image, how to. And so there are people that are very, very concerned with image. And that's why I say they'll pay thousands of dollars for an image transfer, an image upgrade. God's image is available to all, available to each and every one of us. When we're born again, that is our return to the garden. Now, we're not going to be back in that garden. But and notice this, as soon as they lost the image of God, they had to leave the garden. You know, you notice that. They could no longer define themselves by that old image. They had lost that through sin. We regain it through Jesus. Jesus made it possible for us to get that image again, the image of God. And once we're born again, that's when we start progressively working toward that. To get a new image, it's not going to be overnight, right? To get a new, Ken was talking about the three things he wanted to work on. He went, now he didn't get that what is a master's degree, right? He didn't get that master's degree overnight. He had to work on it. It was progressive. He didn't get that body overnight. He had to work on it. It's progressive. He's still working on it. He's going to the gym tonight, right? That's right. You're going to the gym tonight, aren't you, after church? Yeah, he's going to the gym. So, no, he's working on that. So, yeah, he has, how many, 40 pounds? 45 pounds. He's lost 45 pounds. So, yeah, he's working on it. And it takes time. And so, with image, it takes time. But we are relentlessly working on bringing ourselves to the image of God. When we start working like that, we're going to start doing what God wants us to do. He has called each and every one of us. We all have a call of God. We all have a part to play in an end time revival before the return of Jesus. And it's only, and I think this is a major problem, it's a lack of a positive self-image in Christ that keeps us from doing what we're called to do. Because what do we feel? What are the excuses we give ourselves? We're not ready. We don't know enough. We're not strong enough in the faith. We're not trained. We're not, I don't know, anybody add anything to that? Those are the first four I could think of. Is there anything else your mind tells you why you can't when the Lord wants you to do something for the kingdom? Usually that's it. But the Word of God says we are able, through Jesus Christ, to do all things. It is not a lack of anointing. It is not a lack of knowledge. It is not a lack of anything other than a lack of knowing our image in God. Let's look at it in Colossians chapter 3. I'll read this out of my King James. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10. lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So the old man, also the old image. We've put off the old image. And have put on a new one, the new man. The only reason we put off the old is to put on the new, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. All right, let's break this down a little bit. The new man, our new image, is renewed. Renewed means upgraded, changed, made better, restored. It's renewed. It's renewed how? In knowledge. It's renewed in knowledge. How do we get knowledge? We get knowledge by learning. We get knowledge by hearing. We get knowledge by studying. We get knowledge by reading. We get knowledge through prayer. Now, that was a word of knowledge that Joey was referring to. When just all of a sudden, during worship, the Lord spoke to me and said, have your family, whoever's, and I mentioned whoever's in the house. I forgot about that until you mentioned that tonight. Whoever's in the house, go lay hands on you. That was a word of knowledge. Generally, when I have a word of knowledge, it's going to happen. Had a word of knowledge for Brianna. It was, again, on a midweek night. I don't remember what it was, but I remember there was a word of knowledge. You acted on it, and Brianna, everything changed. Everything changed. Knowledge. We're not just talking about getting your 10 best books on self-image. That's going to help in the natural. It's the knowledge of God. It's knowledge by the Holy Spirit. It's knowledge that we cannot necessarily gain in a natural way. It may be a knowledge through prayer, praying in the Holy Spirit. When we're praying, and as we've been praying in the Holy Spirit, have you all noticed the uptick in miracles, the uptick in answered prayer, the uptick in things happening in our lives? Because we're giving ourselves to prayer every day in the Spirit, and midweek we're taking this extra time for prayer in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God prays through us according to God's perfect will. This is also a way to get knowledge. He speaks to us. He reveals to us. He guides us. And it says, which is renewed in knowledge, knowledge after the image of him. So that's knowledge of God, growing in knowledge of God, growing in the knowledge of his will, growing in the knowledge of who he is and what his expectation is of us. In the image after him that created him. That takes us right back to Genesis 1. Created in his image. Created in the image. Now, if you want to know the image, what's the image of God? Because God's a spirit. Right? He doesn't have a physical body. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a physical body, but Jesus does. Jesus is the image of God. Hebrews tells us that he is the exact copy of his image. He's a separation of his radiance, an exact copy of his image. Jesus is God in the flesh. So if we want to know an image that we can work toward, rather than working toward a glamour image. Nothing wrong with being glamorous, okay? You can be glamorous, you can be handsome, look good. Nothing wrong with looking good. We don't want to work toward a worldly image. We want to work toward a heavenly image.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person. But we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you and start living that real life right now.